Here's what I don't understand. One of the many things I don't understand. When you're a little kid and you lose a tooth, you put the tooth under your pillow, and in the middle of the night, the tooth fairy breaks into your house, takes your disgusting tooth, and replaces it with money, cash. Not even a gift card. I'm talking about hard cash. That's a lesson for a child. Sell your body parts for money. When you get older, you learn that if you go to a hospital or a blood bank and you give them your blood out of your body, you give them blood, they give you money. They buy your blood. There's another way to make money. Selling body parts. But somehow, a prostitute getting money for sex is for some reason frowned upon.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh, they can get a bit weird, all right.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah, they can get a bit weird. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Did I sound excited enough? No?
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. In other countries, prostitution is considered a sport. So I don't know why they, you know, really, there are some people that can't get sex without paying for it. And I don't see what the problem is. Pay for everything else. Somehow, yes, we don't do that. We don't sell our body parts. Well, we do, actually. We do. Hi, how are you, by the way? Good to see you. Are you comfortable? Are you in a comfortable chair? This won't take very long. This show is like a tooth extraction, in a sense. It's very, very painful, but when it's done, you're happy that you went through it. Very similar to that. Later on in the program, toward the end, where I shove these things, we're going to speak to Jessica Levinson. She's going to tell us how we can have a healthy and happy new year. I'm still looking for that. I'm still wondering how that can be achieved. How when you click your fingers and you change the last digit on the calendar year thing, that all of a sudden things get better. Well, it's been proven well into January that doesn't really happen. It would be nice, but it doesn't. There's no clicking of fingers and all of a sudden everything's wonderful. It just doesn't happen. In life itself, it just doesn't happen like that. But we hold on to these traditional falsies of our lives. Even the fairy tales. My mother read to me, I was talking about this a few days ago, my mother and father read stories to me at bedtime, and the idea of that was for me not to suck in the information from the stories. It was to put me to sleep. It was to knock me out. So I'd shut the hell up and go to bed so my parents could go in the other room and have some fun with each other for a change without me intervening. That was the purpose of the bedtime story. It was to shut me up, to make me fall asleep. That's why I do this show for you. Otherwise, you'd never get any sleep. You're welcome. By the way, you're welcome. I was read all those fairy tale stories, and I think that's why I turned out the way I did, because I just wasn't hearing words being rattled off by my parents as I was toasty warm under the covers. I was listening to every word, and I was analyzing these incredibly violent stories that they told me. These stories of death and destruction and pain. And they called them fairy tales. I don't know where they came from. I think the legend is most of these stories came from Europe, probably from a sadistic, some horrible man or woman made these things up. Remember Humpty Dumpty? This is a gigantic egg that sat on a wall. Well, first of all, I knew when I was a little kid, if you're a gigantic egg, if you're that fragile, you know, and you don't take chances by sitting on walls, you're just asking for it. So Humpty Dumpty apparently sitting on this wall and lost his balance because eggs, they don't nestle very well on top of walls. Stupid Humpty, stupid Dumpty. So Humpty falls off the wall and just smashes all over the ground, yolk running all over the place, and all the king's horses and all the king's men, they tried to put Humpty Dumpty back together again with various glues and adhesives, but they couldn't figure it out because he was in so many pieces. It was an egg, man. He was an egg. Humpty died later that day, was pronounced dead at a nearby hospital. This is a story that my parents told me in order to make me fall asleep. It bothered me. I never ate eggs again. Never. I can't eat an egg after finding out what happened to Humpty. It told me a story about Hansel and Gretel. These two German kids, which I really didn't care much about the German kids. I didn't live in Germany. But apparently these two German kids are like walking through the forest. Well, first of all, where were their parents? My parents made sure that that I was safe at all times. Here's these two little German kids just walking through the woods. And as I understand it, in Germany, they got places called like the Black Forest. I know that because I've had their cake. And Black Forest doesn't sound like real inviting to me. Hey, you want to take a picnic in the Black Forest? Sure, that sounds friendly. No, it sounds awful. So these two kids are walking through the woods by themselves? Seriously? Come on. They got shoved in an oven and baked like a cookie. Ah, what a hard, the poor parents. Well, keep tabs on your kids next time. Similar problem with Red Riding Hood. She too is in the woods. These kids, man. Stranger danger. Little Red Riding Hood meets a similar demise. These cute little three pigs. Very, very cute pigs. I don't know their names. It's like the three wise men. We don't know their names, I don't think. I guess the names of the three little pigs are in the Bible. I don't know. But these three little pigs, man. Come on. Come on. This wolf comes by. And the wolf... You got to be careful with wolves. I mean, I know that as a human being, but as a pig, you'd figure they're a little more in tune to these kinds of dangers. Well, this wolf wants to get into their house because they just built this house. They were proud of it. They had a series on Home and Garden Television on HGTV. The wolf knew that. So the wolf tries to get into their house, and the three pigs say, "No, man. I mean, no. We don't know who you are. We don't let anybody into our house, especially a wolf." The wolf actually stands there and threatens them by huffing and puffing. Oh my God, outwardly huffing and puffing should be illegal and a crime, but apparently not here in this little pig land. And the wolf threatens to blow their house down by huffing and puffing. And the one thing that these three pigs never got was a decent home insurance policy. Had they gotten that from Allstate or some other nationwide insurance or something like that, if they watch the commercials, they'll know that there's insurance available for the house, but they didn't buy insurance. So what does the wolf do? Blows the house down. Yeah, yeah. Lesson learned, too late. Jack and Jill, they go up this hill to fetch a pail of water. Now look, first of all, I don't fetch. I never fetched. It's beneath me to go fetching. Jack and Jill, I don't know where they're at. They're probably, having sex or something, or they're in love. Anyway, they hold hands and they go up this hill to fetch a pail of water. I always thought the water was at the bottom of the hill, but, you know, salmon swim upstream, so I guess things happen. So they're going up this hill. Jack falls down, breaks his head, similar to Humpty Dumpty, but Jack is a guy. Jack, apparently, it was quite a violent, it doesn't sound like a hill, it sounds like Jack went up a peak, a mountain or something. He falls down, he breaks his entire crown, and I'm not talking about the kind you wear when you're the king or a prince, I'm talking about the crown of his head, which is very important to the structure of your entire skull. Jack comes tumbling down. Jill, stupid Jill, instead of staying at the top of the hill, she falls down too. Maybe she was holding on to Jack or something, and Jack pulled her down by mistake. Seriously, Jack? Jill comes down tumbling after him. They both fall down the hill, and they die a horrible death. They're not discovered for another 3 weeks by mountain climbers who were fetching their own pail and happened to see the bodies of Jack and Jill lying there. Families were torn apart. They didn't know what to do with Jack's inheritance. Jill's money that had to be divided amongst their families, and it was very, very ugly. There was a lot of infighting going on amongst Jack and Jill's survivors. It was not a good story, yet this is the story that I was told before I went to bed. It also, I also made damn sure that when I was an adult, I had very decent health insurance coverage. I mean, if I'm going to fall down a hill trying to fetch a pail of water, I'm going to make sure I have damn good health insurance. This little Miss Muffet, didn't know her personally, but seems like an innocent situation. She's sitting on a tuffet. Don't see a lot of tuffets around anymore. I've been to Walmart quite a few times, asked for a tuffet. The lady in Walmart said, "I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Get out of the store." First time I was ever thrown out of Walmart. But I insisted that they should have tuffets. So little Miss Muffet, she's sitting on a tuffet, on a cushion or something, or some type of upholstery. And she's eating her curds and whey, which I think you can get at a Costco in bulk. I don't know what curds and whey are, but I'd rather have a hamburger or fried chicken. But, you know, little Miss Muffet, she's a vegan. And that's what they eat. She looked a little pasty. but that's what they eat. Well, along comes this spider, which is disgusting, and sits down right next to her, right next to the tuffet. And little Miss Muffet, she goes crazy, man. Now, I got to tell you something. If I'm sitting there eating my dinner, and a spider like walks in and sits down next to me, I'm going to vacate the premises too. Scared the hell out of me. I've been scared of spiders ever since, especially while I'm eating dinner. Ain't going to happen to me. Lesson learned. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for telling me that story. Little Jack Horner sat in a corner. I don't know why. I think he sat in a corner because it rhymed with his last name. He sticks a finger into a pie and pulls out a plum and said, "What a good boy am I?" You're not a good boy. Jack, if you ever go to a social event and you go around sticking your finger in all the food at the buffet, they're not going to say, "Oh, Jack, you're a good boy." They're going to think there's something wrong with you. That's a lousy habit, to go walking around sticking your finger in everybody's food. You think that's attractive? You think that's socially acceptable? No, Jack, it's not. Get a life. There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. First of all, I don't know what kind of housing you have in your area, but if you have to move into a shoe in order to have shelter, things probably aren't all that good. And this old woman, should she be having kids? I'll tell you, if I was an old woman and I had to live in a shoe and had so many children I didn't know what to do, I'd spackle my vagina shut. I mean, seriously, what do you do having children? And where's the husband? This is a case for social services. Those children should be hauled out of that shoe immediately and put into something a bit more secure, like a bra. And you wonder why I don't understand anything. It's because nothing makes sense.
Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show is like realizing that you put your underwear on backwards this morning. It's wrong, but it doesn't feel bad, and it's not like anyone's ever gonna find out, so just go with it. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your indulgence. Hope you're having a wonderful day today. You're looking very good, by the way. It's always good to compliment people, even if it's not true. Oh, did you lose weight? No, but thank you. I guess I did. Didn't realize. Thought I put on 10 pounds, but thank you. You can't go wrong complimenting people. It's so phony and so wonderful. You look younger. Did you lose age? No. There are commercials on television. Cindy Crawford, she used to be the supermodel. Some of you are old enough to remember her when she was younger. And she looked hot. She looked like she was, like, sweating. No, she looked very hot. And now she's in her 50s. They don't say her age in the television commercials. They say she's 50-something. Look, if you're doing a television commercial touting about how great you look at your age, why don't you say what your age is, honey? I'm sorry to call you honey, but that's what it is. Say your age. I don't know if you're 51 or 59. It would make a great impact on me. If you were 51, I'd say, it's not so bad. You take care of yourself. You got a lot of money. I get it. 59? That you're hitting 60 any minute. That's impressive to look like that. So this 50-something doesn't do it for me. It's too wide a span. Too wide a span. Sorry. Got to be more specific. Well, come to find out, she's got her own line of beauty products. Well, who could see that coming? And they're age-defying. She defies age. She's like an acrobat at the circus, like a trapeze artist. She defies the ground. She defies. She's defiant, is what she is. She's 50-something, and she's somewhat defiant. She looks good. But here's the problem. Only Cindy Crawford looks good. Nobody else does. Everybody else in their 50-somethings doesn't look like Cindy Crawford. And you can put all the age-defying stuff on your face you want. You're not going to be Cindy Crawford. Cindy Crawford had a lot of money as a supermodel, probably still does, hawking her age-defying cosmetics. She's got enough money to go into plastic surgeons every 2 weeks and have work done. So I don't think she necessarily looks wonderful because of her age-defying makeup cosmetic line. I think because she's had a lot of work done to her face. And her face is her meal ticket. Let's face it. Your face is not your meal ticket. No. If it was, it wouldn't be looking like that. It's very difficult. I still don't understand why Oprah was ever fat. She has more money than God. And you know God's net worth. It's posted online on Wikipedia. God's got a lot of money. Wrote that book, the Bible. Well, didn't write the book, but had it commissioned. Bestseller. Everybody's got it. Every hotel room. You'd be rich too. God's very, very rich, but doesn't throw it in your face like Trump does. Very, very different, and you should know that. Anybody who has anything and then throws that quality in your face and tells you about it over and over again is a sick bastard. Anyway, so Oprah's got more money than God, and Oprah's very, very well known throughout the galaxy, actually, beyond the planet. But I never understood how she could get fat. I don't understand that. I mean, if I had that kind of money and I was getting fat, I would just hire people. I'd just sit in a chair and say, work me out. I'll sit in the chair. You poke at me. You move my stomach around. You move my groin. You move me. I'm not moving. Entertain me. Do something. Make me lose weight. But for some reason, she didn't. She got fat. And then I was saying to myself, wait a minute, if you want to be President Oprah, which looks like that's the direction she's going in, you got to convince me that we can all lose weight here. I mean, that's really what we're going for, isn't it? I know what Oprah's going to do if she does run for president. She's going to get up behind a pulpit and say, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. And because we're Americans, we vote for her. She's president. We don't care. Because we vote for people that can do things for us personally, screw everybody else. That's our country. Proud of it. Well, I am. Anyway, our guest is standing by, Jessica Levinson. She's a wonderful lady. I don't know her personally. I say that about everybody because there's no way of checking this out. We're going to speak to her right after these words that are very important.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Jessica. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Jessica Levinson joins us. She's an MS, an RDN, a CDN. Oh, my God, you've got so many letters after your name. She's a nationally recognized nutrition expert, and with an emphasis on culinary concerns and nutrition. Culinary, I love that word. Let's talk. It is the new year, as I understand it, although I'm still writing last year on my checks. I've done that a few times. Have you done that?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Already.
So Yeah, and you know, I gained some pounds over the holidays. I always do, and then I struggle for quite a period of time to get rid of them, to get even back on track, not even improving myself, just trying to get back where I was. And I think most Americans are in the same boat.
Yes, they certainly are. It's hard to get back on track after the holiday season.
So that becomes one of our New Year's resolutions, as crazy as that psychological phenomenon may be, but yet it is a fact. And this year, I think most of us are looking not only to get back to where we were, but to improve on where we were before.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody always wants to improve, and that's the cycle that we go through is, you know, we gain weight over the holidays, and then we start to lose it, and then it sort of just goes back and forth like that.
Yeah. Are you in the Northeast?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
I'm in New York.
Okay, there you go. It's not as easy during the winter time to address weight issues because we get the comfort food, quote unquote, the comfort food thing going on where, you know, we go for the fatty stuff to keep us warm and make us feel comfortable like our grandparents used to try to fatten us up with lard and things like that. And also, it's the winter. You don't get out. You don't get as much walking time and you're not as energized and, you know, you're not outside doing stuff and exercising and being active. So it's kind of like the worst period of time to try to get it back.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. I think that the weather impacts us, but yeah. I actually, you know, what else impacts us a lot is that we don't have the time.
I know.
I partnered with Centrum, and they did a survey recently, and they found that 27% of the respondents reported that the reason that they don't get their mm-hmm. fitness in is because they just don't have enough time.
Right.
Which is, you know, I could say firsthand, like, that is one of my biggest downfalls is not having the time to go to the gym and get that, you know, 30 minutes and, you know, an hour in a day.
Absolutely, especially in an urban area like New York where it's a whole chore to get there. Yeah, it's a problem, and I speak to some people, and they're like, they do 45-minute workouts. I can't do that. I don't have that kind of duration, discipline, or time. So what do I do?
Right. So I love micro-workouts. That's a really big thing right now, is to do these little bits of exercise in pockets of time that you have, whether it's at your house or in the office, even if you're, you know, out and about, like, taking the kids to activities. So things that, like during commercial breaks, to get on the floor and do some sit-ups, or if you're on a conference call, to, you know, do some lunges in your office, keep a pair of hand weights in your office by your desk so that you can, you know, mm-hmm. do some bicep curls. Those are little things that you can do. Of course, you want to get your heart rate up, so if there are times that you have, you know, that you're, let's say, on your own and you're not, you know, you do have those pockets of time, but
around.
You can use their app. There are a lot of different apps now that have, you know, quick workouts that you can do that really get your heart rate up quickly. And those are great ways to just fit in little bits of exercise.
All right, let me ask you something that's kind of off the beaten path here, because you're into nutrition and health and that kind of thing. I don't know whether multivitamins, like how effective they actually are. How important are taking vitamins?
So, you know, it's really important for us to get the nutrients we need to sustain our body and, you know, to prevent illnesses and stuff. So we of course want to get from food as much as we can, but that's not always possible.
Right.
You know, it's really hard, which is why I really do like recommending a multivitamin, especially Centrum, because studies do show that that people have fewer nutrient deficiencies when they take a multivitamin every day. So taking that multivitamin will just help you on your road to wellness. It's just one more thing that you can do to ensure that you're living a healthy, balanced life.
So it really does make a difference. But the multivitamins have to be have enough in them and enough variety in order to be effective, though, right?
Yes, but Centrum has everything that you need in the amounts that you need it.
Okay. Is there a best time of the day to take, like, a multivitamin?
I always say the best time of day to take it is the time that you will remember. So if you're taking all your, if you take other medications or other pills, then the best time to take it is, let's say, with that. Although, of course, you'd want to check with your doctor to make sure that there's no contraindications or anything like that. But for the most part, you know, it's like if you're eating breakfast, that may be the best time for you. Or if it's easier for you to remember at night, just really honestly, whenever it's best for you.
Okay. And I do understand that during the winter, your vitamin intake is less than during the summer, I guess, because you're eating, again, you're eating a little bit differently during the winter.
It sort of depends on the nutrients. Yeah. So like vitamin D, for example, is one that we don't get as much of in the winter because our body produces vitamin D naturally from sun exposure. So that's, you know, just one that naturally we don't get. And it really does depend. Some people are not eating as many, as much produce in the winter. Although there's really no reason not to. There's so much great produce that's available to us this time of year. And there's always frozen produce as well. Yeah. But, I think that it just depends on the nutrient and what your diet is composed of.
Okay. So eat a little healthier, take multivitamin Centrum, and do little exercises, move your body as you go throughout your day, which really, see, I can do that. I can stand at my desk or sit at my desk and swivel my chair back and forth like for 10 minutes as I'm working. That I can do. going to the gym, sweating, going home, taking a shower, and then aching the next day, I can't do that.
Right.
All right.
Right. Well, you know, you do the best that you can.
Yeah.
And like I said, getting in those pockets of time, doing those lunges or squats or whatever it is at your desk that you, stand up and do it, that makes a big difference. Even just standing up, some phones like give you a reminder to get up and stand up now and then. And that itself makes a difference. It puts you in a different mindset than just sitting at your desk all day.
No, it's really true. It makes you feel like you have more energy, whether you do or not. I used to do my radio show sitting down always, and I'd sit in one position like for 3-4 hours a day. And then I started doing it standing up, and I felt like kind of invigorated when I was finished. It was like a whole different thing. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, it's good to mix it up like that.
It is. Okay. Hey, good information, Jessica. Thank you so much for your time. Where do we get more of this information?
You could go to Centrum.com, and you'll be able to get more tips and information.
Wonderful. And maybe someday you can explain all the letters that come after your name.
I'd be happy to.
Okay. Take care. All
right. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're out of time for today. I'll be back again the next time that I do this, which is like Monday. Okay, cool. Yes? No? No? What do you mean no? Yes, you mean yes. Your head says no, but your eyes say yes. Phew, that's disgusting. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. I wish you peace. Bye. Go now. Go do something. Stand up. Just stand up. I'm going to go give blood. I can't give blood. I need my blood. I'll go give phlegm. Apparently, I keep manufacturing phlegm every 2 seconds. I have definitely an abundance of phlegm. I'll give phlegm for money. How about that? Can't even spell it.